Ephesians. And we are on our notes just near the end. We have actually just a couple more things to discuss under the value of the book of Ephesians. Again, some great, great passages, things that we know well from the book. As Paul comes finally to the conclusion where, remember, we've dealt with the theology of our salvation and its practical outgrowth in the book of Ephesians, that we're supposed to get along in the church. All right, the unity that's an outgrowth because we all know Christ as our Savior. There's one faith, one Lord, one hope, one baptism, all those things. We see down in verses, and you see on our notes here, in chapter 4, if that's where we're going, verses 7 to 16. In the local church ministry, and this is a part of our unity, we are to serve to perfect the saints, to make them mature. As we minister to one another, it's not just to have some, you know, not just to love each other. We do. But there's a purpose for that love, and it's to grow each other. Our fellowship, our discussions, even before or after services, and as we're with each other during the week and so forth, we're to perfect the saints so that we can minister to their needs and build them up in the body of Christ. So we serve to perfect the saints, to minister to the needs of the body, and to build the body of Christ into the fullness of Christ. So that we all, collectively and individually, come into this image of Christ, so that we take on the character of Christ. We take on our family name, our family heritage in Jesus Christ. Let's read the verses real quick. Chapter 4, verse 7. But in every one of us is given grace, there's the talking about the gifts, according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now let's run down verse 11. And he gave, not because we haven't explained this before, I've preached through this, but just to keep the story going. And he gave some apostles, verse 11, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastor teachers. Here it is, for the perfecting of the saints, so that they can do the work of the ministry, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ, till we all, not just a few of us, but till we all come in the unity of the faith. That's our goal, that we would have a right understanding of Scripture, that we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Right doctrine and right relationship. Right belief about God's Word. Rightly interpreting it. And as well, it's not just because I have this head knowledge of Scripture, but I have a knowledge of God. I am growing in my faith and my walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Scripture, our doctrine, always is practical. Always affects how I live. And that's our goal. So under the perfect man, he says there in verse 13, under the measure, here's our measuring stick, of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You know, the tape measure that was on the door when you're a kid growing up, and how tall am I now? All right. For the Christian, there's a picture of Christ. Can I put it that way? And how much do I look like him? Am I measuring up to the character and person of what Christ both lived and taught? What this is so core to what we are supposed to be. I can't overemphasize enough. I'll keep on reading though. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. Notice the correlation here, the opposite. You're not walking towards Christ, you're going to fall into all kinds of misdeeds and being tossed to and fro. You're carried about by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But as we minister rightly, we speak the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ. Here it is again. What's our goal? That we grow up into Christ. I'm to mature, to be like my Savior and Lord. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying itself in love. Amazing. Well, that's a long description of saying grow up and help each other grow up and do your part and continue to help each other grow up. All right? Powerful, powerful statement. Because I'm saved and because you're saved, we need to help each other grow in the Lord. That's the result and fruit of our salvation and our sanctification process. Okay, finally, and we're going to only touch this, but I want to be done tonight on this one so we can move on, all right? Chapter 5, we go to verse 18. And we won't read this entire lengthy section. I could have, you know, read practically an entire chapter here. But change in thought here as we come to verse 18, maybe verse 17. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled, be drunk with, can I put it that way to get the illustration right? Be drunk with the Holy Spirit, with the Spirit. Be controlled by Him. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. The evidence and then the working of the Spirit in my life affects my music. That is so amazing to me. There are people that, and we deal with it strongly in our day and age, that the whole contemporary Christian music scene, if I can put it that way, and it is, again, there is a major pursuit in our fundamental circles to change our position and our likes, if I can put it that way, our flavor of music, to become more worldly again. And we are blamed, people like us. Oh, would you just get over it? Music's just a small thing. Wait a second. One of the first evidences that I am walking under the Spirit's full, complete control, evidencing and living that the music of my life is Spirit-filled, directed, controlled. Isn't that something? That is the out. So this is not a small thing. We are always blamed for dealing with all the, you fundamentalists are all nitty gritty about all kinds of, you know, your dress standards and your music standards. That's all you talk about. Well, you know, here we don't just talk about those things, but there we do talk about them. Why? Because God does. Here it is in living color and black and white in God's Word. And I need to, in my life, have godly, biblical music that draws my heart to biblical worship and an intimate relationship with my Savior. My music should be holy. That's just the reality of it. It shouldn't have the world's flavor. You say, where do you draw the line? Okay, well, that's the point of discussion. I understand that. And that's not for, we've discussed these before. But can I encourage you? If the world doesn't like it, it's probably good. If the world likes the music you're listening to, oh, you just changed the words. If the world likes it, if they come out for all the concerts and all that, for that, maybe that's because it's the world's music and not God's music. Why? Can I just a simple illustration? Why is the symphony orchestra dying in America today? Why do they have to add all the other kinds of music? Why? Well, because the symphony orchestra really generally glorifies God in its type of music. It talks about organization and beauty. You go back to Bach, what the world would call the founder of classical music, and he wrote to the glory of God on purpose. There may be a good chance we see him in heaven, by the way. Isn't that something? And there are rules, just like there are rules for Christianity. Anyways, I'm getting going. I'm sorry, but that makes sense. All right, so there's a simple test. If the world really loves it, maybe I ought not to. At least it's not mine. And so be careful about that. Let that guide your heart. Let the Spirit guide us. The other thing, he goes on then, the whole passage, giving thanks, verse 20, and then the whole family passage. Again, I could preach the rest of the night on this, but believers, where is it that the Holy Spirit is best exemplified, and where is it that the rubber really meets the road? It's in our family relationships. Does your mate know that you're Spirit-filled and directed and controlled? Or does your mate only know your flesh? How about your children? That's where God, because it's at home where I, can I put it this way, where I hang out, where I let my guard down. It's supposed to be a place of peace and rest. So it's like, hey, well, I can be whatever I want. Well, actually, no. You are to be just, in fact, more so, can I put it that way, Spirit-controlled in your home than anywhere else. Why? Okay, now I'll do one real hard point of preaching, and I trust you'll amen me. I'm not preaching at you, I'm with you, all right? But why is it that we're losing the next generation? Could it be that moms and dads aren't Spirit-filled in the home? Oh, God, help us. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, reverence your husbands. Children, obey your parents. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. All right, that's a part of where we're supposed to live out the Spirit's work. Now, finally, You'll see in the notes here, armor. You say, well, isn't that just another whole section? We go down to chapter 6, verse 10. And yes, it's a new paragraph for sure. It's a new thought. There's been the living out of the Spirit of God through. But finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Yes, put on the whole armor of God. But what's the armor of God? Well, you get down to verse number 17 and take the sword of the Spirit. Here we are. I see this as not an indirect connection, but a direct connection to the entire passage beginning all the way back in chapter 5, verse 18, with be filled with the Spirit. You see, even in my battle against sin and Satan, the prince and powers of this era, all right, of this world, I must have the Spirit's control and enablement and power. I can't do it alone. Therefore, I put on the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's the Spirit working in and through me. And so I get the support, verse 18, again, another comment about the Holy Spirit, praying always, this is chapter 6, 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. You see, even my prayer life, and we know, it's, there, have you ever been, I don't know what to pray? That's where the Spirit helps us. And we evidently, Romans chapter 18, very clear, Lord, help me to pray the right things. Pray according to your will. Honor you. My prayer life ought to be controlled, directed, filled by God's Spirit as He takes God's Word and helps me pray God's Word back to Him for the needs of those that I'm praying for, all those kinds of things. I can pray much of God's will, just pray for God's Word to be accomplished. Can I pray for the lost to be saved? Absolutely. God's not willing. It's His will that no one should perish. Pray for it. All right, does that make sense? And there's so many things. Is it God's will for all of us to grow in Christ? We just read it in chapter 4. So pray. Pray that your fellow believer, that maybe you're good friends here at the church, and you find there's a struggle in this heart or her heart spiritually. Pray for them. Lord, would you help them take on the image of Christ? And here's the area that it's a point of struggle in their life. That's the type of prayer. And then pray, Lord, protect us from the onslaughts of Satan, sin, the flesh. That's the armor of God section. So that's as much the Spirit's work as any other section. What joy. Okay, well, I don't need to re-preach Ephesians, but you can tell I want to. But by God's grace, let's live it out in our life. And let's conclude by in our hearts saying, I want to be Spirit-filled in all the things. In my music here in particular, as we talk about tonight, in my family living, in my battle against sin and Satan. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for its power. Thank you so much that you give us your Spirit. Would you help each of us here to moment by moment be filled with your Spirit, and that the evidences will be absolutely abundant, that people will see it in the music that surrounds our life. They'll see it in our home. They'll see it in our battle against sin. And may you be glorified through it. Give us strength and courage, the ability to follow you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, have a great week. Thanks for indulging me a few minutes tonight.